Do you realize that for things to work out right, they must be done at the right time? My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. This is the way the Lord Jesus Christ described his own personal conduct, saying again, I do nothing by myself. Thus the Lord Jesus manifested while he was here amongst us and among men what we would call a controlled conduct. Doing the right includes doing in the right way at the right time. Of course, there is the right thing to do, but there is a right way to do the right thing, and there is a right time to do the right thing in the right way. For instance, I think you will agree with me that sometimes it's really sad to see how good things done in a bad way lose, or a good thing done at a bad time fails. Now, this even comes up at a time when every one of us would be humbled to think about it. Sometimes a parent has a word to speak to a child. Perhaps this word is to be spoken by way of advice, or by way of caution, or by way of reprimand, sometimes by way of rebuke, and the word that is to be spoken is a needed word, and we should think that it could be a helpful word. And yet, have you ever noticed how sometimes this is done by good people when they only aggravate the situation? Because they speak at the wrong time. Sometimes a child will do something that they shouldn't do, and they should be talked to. It should be pointed out to them. And then an earnest, sincere parent will go ahead and do this in the presence of other children, or perhaps in the presence of strangers, and provoke the child to such resentment and to such rebellion that actually it loses its whole point. Yet the word that was spoken was a good word, and conceivably the child could have profited by it. And yet it would have been so important to do it at a good time. The words were right enough, but the time was wrong. Now, what I'm talking about can be seen, in a garden. I would naturally think in terms of the farm from my boyhood days, and it was a very common thing for us on the farm to realize that you could take good seed, the best seed that you could buy, but if you put it in poor soil, you'd get a poor crop. Or you could take this good seed, and if you sowed it even in good soil at the wrong time of the year, at the wrong season, you'd get no crop. You see, actually, there is such a thing, as I say, in doing right. There is such a thing as doing it in the right way, and doing it, again, I will say, in the right time. Now, I've just talked about farming. Let me come over and talk about church life and Christian life and experience. Let us consider, for example, giving a testimony as to blessing received. Here is a person that's actually received a real blessing of the Lord, and they would like to tell people about it. But perhaps they pick a bad time for doing it. I know that not so long ago, I can remember a person who was present at a public service. And at this public service, where people were accustomed to meeting together and had an order of service that they followed through in a regular and orderly way, there was a person present who wanted to get up and give a personal testimony. It was not the routine procedure. It wasn't the proper thing to do in that particular setting. And under the circumstances, the request to be given an opportunity to give a testimony was denied. Caused a lot of strangeness, embarrassment to the person who was in charge, awkwardness to everybody else, and perhaps even a hurt feeling to the person who made the request. Now, that soul may have had a very real testimony, but under the circumstances, that was a bad time to ask for it, with the result that nobody got a blessing out of it. The same thing is true, for instance, in preaching, if I may say so. And now I just ask you to think kindly of preachers, but even so, would you not agree with me that if a man were preaching and preaches overtime and goes on and on and on overtime, that his preaching actually loses power? Or let's take the matter of praying, when more of us participate in praying, perhaps, than in preaching. Well, isn't it true that you know of people who could actually pray a real, true, sincere prayer to the Lord, who perhaps will fall into the tendency, fall into the pattern of praying too long? They go on and on and on and on. And actually, it doesn't help people. For instance, and let me use again and change the illustration. Here is someone that is about to plan to do something, and they have in mind to do something, and you feel that they should be given advice. The advice, perhaps, that you're going to give them is advice to not to do it. But at the time that you talk to them, they're preoccupied with desire, and the advice that you give them has no effect. Not so long ago, a woman talked to me about the fact that she had a daughter that wanted to marry a certain young lad. And the mother didn't think that the girl ought to marry this boy. So I asked him, who is the boy? Oh, she said, he's been around our place for years. I said, the girl has known him a long time? Oh, yes. I said, has he been going out with a girl? She said, oh, yes, he's been going out. I said, have you spoken to your daughter at all about this matter before? No. And now she wants to marry him? Yes. Well, I said, you're too late. Now, you may have had a good word to say, and maybe your advice would have been good, but you shouldn't wait until she has her heart and mind all made up to this thing. In other words, there again you have the, what I'm trying to say just now, and that is that even though what you had were going to do was good, but the time you were going to do it wasn't good, and it would have no effect. One more time, let me say this very gently. I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but have you ever noticed such a thing as this, for example? You have a prayer meeting, and someone gets up in prayer meeting and prays a long prayer in such a soft voice that nobody can hear it. Well, now, the praying is all right, but the way it is done, it isn't. You would say to me, well, you certainly couldn't criticize that for saying it was dishonest or disrespectful or anything like that. No, no, no. I don't mean anything in the way that the person, shall I say, was guilty of anything else than just not good judgment. And this is what I'm speaking about just now. Or I think sometimes, now many of us don't ever have this problem, but once in a long while I get to a home where this is done. I don't think it's done particularly because I'm there, but I have seen this done. The woman of the house prepares a meal, and she serves it, and the meal is put on the table hot. Now, in case any of the rest of you don't know it, let me tell you right now that a good cook, when she prepares a hot meal, she wants folks to eat it. Well, we'll say just at that time, someone is called upon to return thanks at the table and launches into a long prayer, say, returning thanks at the table, with hot food in front of the people. Well, now, the value of that prayer is greatly reduced. Do you see what I mean? One can hardly emphasize too much the need of wisdom in conduct, in the manner of how you do a thing, and the also in time when you do it. There is a word in the Proverbs that says something like this, that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now, this general truth that I've been discussing with you can be seen in the passage we have before us today. Just now we're studying in the Gospel of John. We're in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John, and I want you to look just at the first 9 verses, which you can easily look at, and you'll see this truth exemplified by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When you open up chapter 7, and you read the first 2 verses, after these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now there is an interesting thing. You would say that certainly a person doing right should be able to go anywhere. Wouldn't you think that if a person were doing right, that God would just protect them no matter where they would go or what they would do? Well, let's not be too quick to make any such conclusions as that. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is perfect, and he is exactly doing the will of his Father. But it is the will of his Father that he be wise, and the Jews as were going to kill him. He wasn't ready to be killed yet. Eventually they would kill him, but he wasn't ready for it, so he stayed away. You see what I mean? He exercised judgment on his conduct. He controlled his conduct. Certainly he was doing the right thing. Certainly he would have done a good thing. But he was doing the right thing when he didn't go where he'd get killed. That was doing the right thing too. This is what I'm illustrating. Now look in verses 3 to 5, a very interesting thing. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Seems like a reasonable suggestion, but the next verse will tell you something about it. For neither did his brethren believe in him. You see, they suggested he go ahead and act. It would have been the wrong thing. He wouldn't have been wise. It wouldn't have been the right time. And there is something that we need to be very, very careful about. We need to exercise restraint in our conduct and not let anybody control us by challenging us to act when the time isn't right. People will needle us into doing things that we shouldn't do. They'll come along and ask you questions about things you shouldn't talk about. I have found myself in danger many times at that very point. I am so ready to give anybody a testimony for what I have in my heart. I'm so ready to speak out and tell anybody that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that I have actually on many occasions run grave danger of letting somebody ask me questions that bring me out on things that I don't want to talk about. Our God and Heavenly Father, give us wisdom about these things. Help us that we may be careful in our utterances and serve Thee in our manner. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.